But my next guest is on the line. She's Sharon Haskell. She's a member of the Knesset. She was Israel's deputy foreign minister, however, resigned last week over the bill halting the arrest of the Haredi draft dodgers. And that's the discussion that we are going to be having right now. Sharon Haskell, shalom lach, toda rabba lach, that you joined us here shalom. On Chai FM.
Hello, great pleasure.
Sharon, so you walked out of the Knesset last week, I think it was Tuesday, and you announced your resignation almost immediately. And the question I want to ask you is, what was the tipping point? What was the moment when you just decided, I can't be part of this government any longer?
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, it's very important for me to say I fully support the government on anything to do with our security issues, with our foreign policy. Nothing has changed. This is only over internal issues, talking about how we want to shape Israel's future, okay? And so I stand behind everything that the prime minister has done also during those 3 years of war, defending our country, defending our people and our communities. Because some people might interpret it as if,
yes,
you know, there's somewhat that I disagreed with it.
Yes.
But this is only and only over internal issue. And the main issue was a bill that exempted here in Israel from service. Now, as a former combat soldier, a female combat soldier who served during the times of the Second Intifada, I truly understand when, you know, the chief of the army and other people that I speak on a daily basis are saying that, you know, this is something that has to be equally shared. It's not easy, especially not the last 3 years where we've been serving in the front line, where family have paid so many prices for the security and the defense of Israel. You know, people came back injured physically, emotionally, families who one of their partners, the mom or the dad, were not present for a very long time. That's a heavy toll that you pay for the service of protecting and defending our countries and our communities. And so when this legislation passed that exempted a very small sector from that, I see it as a privilege, okay, and a duty. I couldn't continue on, and I promised Israeli civilians already a year and a half ago that if one of these bills will pass, I will not be able to support the government. And that's the reason that I've resigned.
Yeah, look at the tone deafness of the motion that was passed. I think it was just earlier, towards the end of last week, that they actually increased and extended the times that Israeli reservists now need to be in Miluim. I mean, it's just so in your face. On the one hand, you're telling an entire sector of the population you don't need to serve, and that's okay. And the rest of the population, you're saying, well, we're going to make it even longer. It's just astounding to me.
Yeah, look, when the army comes and says, oh, we need to extend the service, and, you know, during my time, we've served for 3 years, so I completely understand that. We need to give them, you know, the army, what they need and the tools and the manpower in order to defend it. And yes, you know, look on other countries who are at war, okay? Look on Sudan. Look on what's happening, you know, in Somalia. Look on what happened in Syria, in Ukraine. Many countries who are at war, the economy completely collapsed. It's a huge burden. Look on what happens to civilians. But Israel is very different. We are a community. We were able to sustain and stabilize the economy. We're at growth. The Israeli companies and Israeli economy is growing and is stable. You know, the stock market has proven that it has a lot of confidence in, you know, in the Israeli stock market. And so, you know, it continues to rise up. This is something the country was able to do during a time of war. But it happens because of the commitment of the people. We act as a community together. We pay the prices together. We back each other up because we understand that this is something we cannot lose. This is our homeland for thousands of years. Jews have been persecuted, thrown out, you know, exterminated in so many parts of the world, in so many different parts of history. We do not have any other choice. You see the rise in the madness of anti-Semitism and how it's spread like wildfire all around the world. And that should make it so much more clear. Another choice, and we have to work together. We have to be united.
Sharon, did Goldknopf and his allies ever put anything on the table that could have resulted in a compromise that you could have lived with? And I'm saying, okay, so they don't want to go into the army. Did they ever put a, for example, something like Hatzalah or Zaka, or did they ever put alternatives on the table that you could have met halfway?
Unfortunately, they did not put any compromise. The fact is that I put a compromise on the table, and I tried to go around and to try and persuade them to come, you know, to make a few steps.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, you know, we weren't met on the other side. And we have to find those compromises.
Sharon, what I've struggled to understand is that the little I understand about Israeli politics is that Bibi Netanyahu is out of step with his own base. I mean, he's clearly got a lot of support in the Dati Leumi, the national religious sector of the population. And they're the people who've paid the highest price over the last 3 years. I mean, that there's no debate about that. I do notice he left the room when the vote was held. I think that was broadcast all over the world. I'm not sure if he was after plausible deniability or what he was doing. But I mean, I'm trying to understand the logic of the move when his own base is at odds with it.
You mean the Likud party?
Yes.
I'll tell you this. I think that in many cases, unfortunately, what we see more and more in Israeli politics is more of somewhat of a tribal politic instead of an ideological one. So if you try to analyze Israeli politics, it's not like you would analyze European politics or the American politics. So you have a very distinctive left and right between, you know, left and right economically and on security issues and many other issues. But it is very tribal. It's, you know, people vote for somewhat their tribe. So in that kind of politics, ideas and ideology are being pushed, unfortunately, to the side. And now a sector has literally hijacked the whole right-wing agenda in that kind of essence. And, you know, many people and even, you know, media channel have started to talk that if you are on the right, for example, and you are with only if you are standing with this tribe, okay? And it shouldn't be like that. But unfortunately, politics are becoming more and more. And yes, that tribe is not the Likud. I mean, the Likud looks on security first. They look on economy first. An ideological home where, you know, where it's very clear that we need to have, you know, a stronger security, a more hawkish security, okay? Certain policies on security that are very clear, a more liberal economy, meaning less taxes and less regulation. That's what we should talk about. But unfortunately, this agenda has been hijacked by that tribe of the ultra-Orthodox.
I think that's what kind of pains me so much, is that all the reading that one does tells you that 70% of Israelis agree on 80% of the issues. And for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
Benjamin Netanyahu felt it necessary to antagonize the entire middle and make coalitions with the extreme right, which just seems so unnecessary because you all actually do agree mm-hmm. on the bulk of the issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. I mean, if we take only the ideology, we do agree on most of it. But unfortunately, yeah. Politics here have become very personal.
Yeah, personal and tribal.
I think you don't just see it in Israel. Yeah. And I think it's not just in Israel. You see it in many countries, you know, with Marine Le Pen or Trump. It's about a name, it's about a leader, it's about a personality, and not necessarily about the ideas and the ideology and so on.
Sharon, final question, just because I'm running out of time, just interested in your response to this. Apparently, Boaz Bismuth apparently criticized you really sharply after your resignation. He suggested that you're positioning yourself for a new political home. Is that fair, or is this really about principle for you?
It is about principle, and it's about, and you know, so many people who feel deserted, and it is about building a political home for those who've been so disappointed and are feeling betrayed by the party that should have represented them.
Sharon Haskell, we're going to leave it there. Tadarabalach, really appreciate you giving us the time here on Chai FM.